Welcome to the Desperately Seeking Self podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Collins, recovering alcoholic, mom, wife, friend, and hopefully someone who can help you if you're looking to evaluate your relationship with drinking. Let's get started. I'm so glad you're all here today. It's been a week, a couple weeks is what I feel like. It's never ending for me. So trying to work on my anxiety and regrouping after the grips of this pandemic. How many of you felt the same? Show of hands. For those of you new to the show, I record this episode live on a Zoom meeting. So there are other women staring back at me that I'm talking to right now. And if you would like to be one of those people, then just shoot me an email at lifecoachbrooke@gmail.com or head over to Instagram at Brooke Collins Coaching and shoot me a DM and I will add you to the Zoom list. I would love to have you join in on these discussions because they're fun. I record the episode and then I have open discussion with the women for another 25, 30 minutes. So it's always a good time and definitely enlightening and something that has helped me even grow in my own sobriety. So jumping right in, I want to talk about changing our environment, right? So like drinking and changing our environment. Suffering in silence is probably more where I'm leaning with this, but when we stay quiet, right, by not stating out loud, like, I'm not drinking right now because I'm not positive about where my relationship with alcohol is, or I'm not comfortable with how I've been feeling with my drinking lately, or I'm drinking too much and I want to slow down. By not like just saying that out loud, you let the whole issue fester into a bigger situation, evolve and grow. So how many people can relate to that? Type in the chat box if you can. If suffering and silence has caused this issue for you to even 10 times itself into something bigger. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. So I like to look at this as like, you know, skeleton in the closet, right? Like the more you have, the sicker you are, you know, and secrets kept me sick for a really long time. So when we're not telling people how we're feeling, we're suffering in silence. And when you choose to suffer in silence, you are letting something fester, fester, fester. Rah, rah, rah. Favorite movie, French Kiss. Anyways, I quote it a lot. It's annoying, I know, for people who join me quite frequently, but it's the best way to describe it. You let something fester, you're going to let it rot. It's going to eat you from the inside out, right? So it's important to obviously find your people when you're dealing with the issue that we're all dealing with. It's a delicate balance. And it's funny because I'm so used to being so open with addiction and so open with not drinking and having a husband who doesn't drink, and both of us are very open about it. But I wasn't always that way. And so I have to remember that when I'm looking at helping the women that I work with, because I was not that way, actually, far from it. I took anonymity very seriously the first probably 5 years of my sobriety. Now, I did have an alcohol use disorder. I am an alcoholic. So even though you are a gray area drinker and you don't necessarily hit bottoms, lose things in your life, or are suffering from those repercussions of drinking, you still have an issue with your relationship with drinking, right? Yeah. So when you are honestly having trouble not drinking, and you're justifying it because the people that you're with, or the people that you spend the most time with are drinking too much, then that's where things start to sort of grow. And then you're suffering in silence because the people that you're spending time with are, I don't know, drinking all the time and posting about it on their Instagram. And so you feel like there's something wrong with you. But what if I told you that, let's say you have a friendship group of 7 women, right? Including yourself. And you suffer in silence a lot of the time because drinking culture has taken over and you guys are like, every weekend, it's a planning, it's a around the drinking. where are we going to drink? What are we drinking? Where are we going? How are we drinking? What if I told you that of those seven women that you spend your time with, three of the seven, you and two others would feel the exact same with in terms of your relationship with alcohol, waking up and feeling ashamed, and then, you know, the guilt and the hangover and all of the things. And it's really hard to change something when you're stuck in that I'm gonna change everything in one day sentence in the morning when you're hungover, then you drink by the end of the night and you feel like shit and you're shaming yourself the next morning, and it's this continuous cycle, right? So I think that when you start small, right? And even AA has this principle in it, right? You focus on one day at a time. You don't have to focus on not drinking forever. You focus on one day at a time. So when we react in a judgmental way towards our drinking and we shame ourselves, and you feel guilty about the habit that you've had for, and you felt that way for a long time, it creates this mountain you need to climb because you've been suffering in silence. And so this little molehill turns into a gigantic Mount Everest, and trying to get over it because what has festered and grown and evolved into something way bigger than you can handle emotionally or even try and wrap your brain around logically is what's in front of you. How many of you feel that way right now? Yeah, because it becomes bigger, right? When we don't talk about it, 100%. So when you isolate yourself and you start keeping secrets and suffering in silence, you are taking on more than just the problem. You're bearing the weight of the world on your shoulders by keeping this air quote secret. And it's obviously going to have an effect on you, but it also impacts and affects the people you love because of the way that you feel about yourself and the way you feel about your drinking and the way that you are reacting to yourself, right? Would you agree with that? Would you say that that's common, you know, for you? Mm-hmm. So we need to look at finding our why, right? So when I stopped drinking at first, I was able after I had alcohol use disorder, recovering alcoholic, not necessarily gray area, but I want to prevent anyone from having to go as far down as I did. When I was finally clear-headed, and it took a while, I could not get over how much time I had and how I was able to start adding so many priorities into my life. And these are things I always wanted to do or have, but I couldn't do because of the time spent drinking with friends or the time hungover, right? So some of those things for me look like working out, poetry, meditation. Crafts and like house projects. I used to do a lot of like mod podging or whatever. Make little kind of romantic looking picture frames to put pictures in. So I started like tapping into me and things and hobbies that I've always wanted to have, but I never had time for, right? Then I was able to dive into more passionate things as things grew, things I was more passionate about, I should say. and that's where like the transformation of my life occurred. So if you find your why when you're looking at this, so we're not going to let things fester. We're not going to let them grow. We're not going to let them evolve. We're going to find our why, because think about it. What's one thing you could do more of if it wasn't for weekly night drinking and hangovers? So a quick tip for those of you looking to evaluate your relationship, those things that you're thinking of that you could do if it wasn't for the time drinking or the time hungover is start small. Do it one day a week. Take off drinking one night a week and do that hobby and see how it makes you feel, right? So it's prioritizing the things that that come after the drinking and putting them before it. But you don't need to do it all right away. You can do it one thing at a time and grow and evolve that way, right? So the problem for a lot of us is, and this is a hard pill to swallow, but the problem for a lot of us is that it's our focus, alcohol. Alcohol is our focus. That's the problem. So it may be enjoyable. It may make you feel like you're taking the edge off or a reward for a day well worked or all of those things, but it is the focus of your life right now. I mean, those of you sitting on the computer or those looking at me right now and those listening, it's the focus of your life. It controls you because of where it is on your priority scale. So the next is, obviously, we tell people what we're doing, right? So when you don't tell people and you stop drinking in private, or you start doing the work that you all are doing in private, keeping it a secret, suffering in silence, although you wouldn't be suffering. Most people don't have suffering side effects from not drinking, but it makes a massive difference or shift in the amount of success that you'll find in this journey of finding sobriety, right? Because here, you want to stop drinking. You don't like how much you're drinking. You don't like how you feel. But you're still residing in this space with the same relationships and the environments that were leading you to drink in the first place, right? You're still going to happy hour with the friends from work. You're still grabbing a bottle of wine on the way home from work. You're still dealing with the same triggers, stressors, anxieties, fears, all of that stuff, right? And I will tell you that there is nothing easier to justify than drinking as a form of relaxation, release, celebration, grief, whatever emotion, insert it, and you will find a way to justify drinking. If you don't come out and say to people, hey, I am not drinking right now. It's a hurdle for me to get away from alcohol. I've been struggling a little bit. I want to be sober. No, I'm not an alcoholic, right? For some of you, for most of you sitting here right now, no, I'm not an alcoholic, but I don't like the way I feel. I don't like the way that I feel powerless. I don't like the way that it's my priority to drink and my weekends are planned around it. And every social event I go to and everything I do is centered around alcohol, a drink. So if you don't change those dynamics and state you're not doing it anymore, you're not going to have the support that you need in making this decision. And you don't have to go into great detail about the shame and the this. You can just say, I'm trying to get sober because I don't like the way drinking makes me feel anymore. Period. End of story. You don't need to go into the whole next day. You don't need to go into how many drinks you're drinking a day. It really is a simple sentence. I'm trying to get sober because I don't like the way I feel about drinking anymore. I don't like the way it's affecting me. I don't like how it makes me feel. Easy, simple, cut and dry. No. So I look at things when you keep things a secret. If you don't plan, you plan to, plan to fail. If you don't tell people, you're planning to fail. Tell someone, tell your friends. You don't need to tell the world, but tell some people who are going to be in your corner cheering you on, because you're going to need some cheerleaders every once in a while once you really start committing to this lifestyle. It is not easy to live in the world that we live in. We are in a world where the culture of adulthood is centered around alcohol and drinking. It's so readily accepted and pushed and thought of as what it is to be an adult in 2021 is drinking with your friends. Drinking. It's widely accepted, and it's widely accepted and becoming more and more common that people are making asses of themselves regularly because it's so accepted and common in our culture. So when you state that you're not doing this, right? The other way to not deal with internal struggle, I think, is to eliminate the people who don't support you, who bully you, or who make you feel like shit because you've decided you don't like the way drinking makes you feel. You know, Jim Rohn says you are the average of the five people you spend your most time with. This is so important. And I know I quote that a lot, but it is so, so, so important to look at that. If you are spending time, the five people that you spend the most time around are negative, gaslighting, heavy drinking, angry people, what do you think that you're going to be like? You think that you're going to be the one fluke in your circle of friends that's like, oh my God, I'm like the butterfly making everything. I just want everything to be sunshine and rainbows and everyone to get along. No, it's not how it works. Our identity is wrapped up in our friend circle is the other problem here. So if you don't have people supporting you, if you have people who are digging at you or knocking you down because you're quitting drinking, don't let your identity get wrapped up in that. Because here's a hard truth, and I need everybody to hear this, like really hear this. When you decide to get sober, you find out who the people who care about you are. You find out who your real friends are. Let me say that again. When you decide to get sober, you will find out who your people are, who your friends are, who your real friends are, who your real supporters are. Period. End of story. The Good Time Charlies are all gone. My mom called them Good Time Charlies, but you know, they're all gone. They're going to be gone. And that is terrifying because when we lose friends, we struggle because we have to wonder who we are. Why are we losing friends? Why is this happening? Is it just me? And it's a very difficult space to be, but here's the thing. It can be an incredibly powerful place to be too, because you get to decide who you're spending your time with, right? Sober, drunk, special occasion, every night type of drinkers. You get to decide who you want to be when you decide to give up alcohol. And if you have people who drink heavily, you're likely going to keep drinking heavily. And when you decide to stop drinking as much, or you go in all in and give it up altogether, it's going to threaten their way of life. So they're going to start comparing their life to yours. You can use a diet in this too, if I'm confusing you. Like when you go on a hardcore diet or like start food prepping, meal prepping, and working out like crazy, you find out who your friends are too, because there are some who will support it and there are some who this shines a bright shining light on their habits, and they assume you're judging them for the way they're living, and they'll start thinking that you think that they've got the problem. And they're going to feel uncomfortable around you, not because of anything you're doing, but because it forces the mirror in front of them to look at their own habits. So people can be confrontational. That gets uncomfortable when you're dealing with it. But here, these are some things that might happen. You'll stop getting invited places, right? Your friendship just dissolves. They could be aggressive about your choice in some way. They can guilt you into drinking or attempt to drink, guilt you into drinking. They can continue to offer you drinks, even though you've told them you're not drinking multiple times. They can get angry about your choice. They can start like manipulating. Oh God, I just miss the old you, the one that would have fun and drink with me. So that's why it's super important to pay attention to the people you spend time around and how they make you feel. How do they make you feel when you're around them? Are you drained, angry, bitter? Are you happy, motivated, joyful? Those are the things to pay attention to, right? And there's a whole great big group of people on this planet that don't drink. So you can certainly find people who will uplift you and be more supportive than the people you're spending time around now. Because likely the people you're spending time with now aren't supportive in how you're feeling, the shame and the guilt and like shit because of drinking, right? So when we move into keeping secrets, you can't go on a path of self-criticism, right? And find anything good at the other end of it. So when you're criticizing yourself, raise your hands if you do this regularly. When you criticize yourself, you are looking for an outcome at the end to be different. You're expecting to feel different. You're expecting to motivate yourself or drive yourself into a different outcome. And how many of you find that? Show of hands. Right. It's hard. So what we need to do is just be human, right? Maybe the judgment, the criticism, and the shaming of yourself and the guilt is what's making you want to drink in the first place, right? So the good news is when you give up alcohol, you have time to unravel and unpack all that stuff, right? And it's a never-ending process. So it's not a straight line to sobriety. It's a winding road, and you will have slip-ups in this choice to not drink. And that's okay. It's being human. And you can't get any success by coming at anything from a place of shame. When you look at yourself as worthy and lovable, even if you fuck up, big deal, right? Big deal. Because each time you do that, it's going to get easier for you to stay sober the next time. There's also a lot of discomfort that comes, and we hide and keep that into a closet too. And you've got to allow yourself to go through the emotions. Otherwise, you're going to live in a ball of fear. So we also live in a world on top of wine o'clock and mommy wine culture that tells you right now it's a very dangerous place almost in mental health and well-being and mindfulness, because everybody is, we should think and feel positive all the time. Bullshit. Okay. The human brain isn't even wired to think positively all the time. The human brain is wired to find, to survive. So it looks for the negative literally in everything for you to survive, right? Pain or pleasure seeks the pleasure. So it's going to monitor every area of pain that could happen in a day, and try and avoid you doing it. So we assume something's wrong with us when we have a bad day, when we feel like shit. And, you know, I'm getting really, really, really sick and tired of hearing the women I work with say something that they feel is a complaint and then saying, but I feel really bad saying that because I should be grateful. I have a really good life and I should be grateful. And I should. But you don't. Okay. This goes for anybody listening. Doesn't matter how much money you have, how much joy you from the outside it appears you should have in your life. Everything is not as it seems. So before social media, when I was a kid, my mom would say, you never know what happens behind closed doors. Or those people are trying to keep up with the Joneses, and little do they know the Joneses are and heading for divorce. Or bankruptcy, or whatever, right? Like, you don't know what goes on behind people's closed doors. And that's why we're talking about keeping things quiet and not opening up and suffering in silence, because this is not anything new, people. And social media is exacerbating the ability to wrap your brain around the fact that social media reels are bullshit and they're not fucking real. Okay. They're not. Even the stuff I post of myself, pictures, they're good pictures. I try not to filter them, but they're not my whole day. And before that picture, especially when you're looking at family pictures, we had a whole situation prior. And then it's like, just smile for the picture, you know, like frustrated, exacerbated. These are things that are not real. We are not meant to feel good all the time. We're not. We feel feelings, right? We're conscious of feeling the feelings. So we feel love and joy, but we also feel on the other end, anger and sadness. So here's the thing. There's got to be an equilibrium, right? You can't feel the joy without feeling the sadness. You just can't. You have to feel one and then you feel the other. So not hiding and thinking, oh God, I got to be positive all the time. This is why people are so shocked about suicides all the time, right? Because these people are suffering in silence and nobody knows how awful it is. It festers, it grows, it evolves, becomes more than a mountain. It becomes, it encompasses and engulfs them in it, in the sorrow, in the shame, in the silence. Silence is a powerful thing, right? It really is. So looking at the fact that we're human and we're not supposed to be silent and we're not supposed to be happy all the time, and let yourself feel uncomfortable. Sit there for a minute. You don't have to stay there, but process some of it. You can journal about it, meditate. You know, what I like to do is I like to move or dance, turn music up. Get the energy out through a song, but move the energy through your body. Because if you lean into it, you're going to feel it. And then it's going to be letting out of your body instead of pushing it down with alcohol, which if you know my story, you know how well that works, like a explosion and almost dying. So you can't stuff feelings down with alcohol. You can't stuff fear down with alcohol. You can't numb anything or anesthetize anything with alcohol for too long. It's always going to overflow. So I'm going to wrap this up because I could go on for 10 hours and I'll go on next week with what I was going to talk about with staying quiet and how that affects not just you, but the people around you. But take your dreams seriously, right? If you're fed up with waiting, if you're fed up with the way you're dealing with alcohol and drinking, you can find out who's under all the numbing, who's under all the alcohol. You can find out who that person is, right? You can stop spinning your wheels. You can do the things you want to do. You can travel. You can start new hobbies. You can start living your life fully when alcohol isn't the main priority in the focus of your life. And it gets even more powerful when you have people in your life who alcohol isn't their main priority or the focus. You get to do some really empowering shit in sobriety. And fun. Nobody has more fun than my husband at a wedding dancing. He could give a rip what people think about him. This man, this is one of the reasons I fell in love with him. He doesn't need a drink to go out and dance and feel the music in his heart and just move. He just does it. It makes him happy and it's contagious because it's who he is. And when he's out dancing, people want to be around him. Sometimes it's funny, but it's contagious, the energy. So I try to live my life fully like that, not to say that's my life all the time, right? if you're struggling and you need more support, don't feel shameful about that either. Just please, God, quit keeping things silent. Quit suffering in silence, you know? Quit, quit, quit. You don't have to hit rock bottom before you decide that alcohol isn't for you, right? You don't need to get put into rehab or go to jail or break the law or lose people who love you, lose relationships, you know? Start small. Quit keeping things hidden in silence and quit judging yourself because you are early to the show of sobriety because you're showing up and you're the one who decides when the show starts. You're worthy. You're enough. Take action. Make a massive shift today by making the choice that you are not going to drink today or tomorrow or one day this week, but start small. And know that you're not alone. You are not alone. That's always my most important thing to notify people of, is that you are not alone. All right. Have a good week, you guys. I will see you back here next week. If you are interested, you can join me Wednesday at noon at my Facebook Live in my group Living Purposefully, and the link is in the show notes. It's a new thing I'm starting every Wednesday at noon, coming on and talking about what I've talked about a little today: shame, guilt, boundaries, all of the things. I look forward to seeing you all there or back here again on Monday next week. I hope you all have a wonderful day, and I hope you have a hangover-free week. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.